discussed two times ago the Gemara Yevamos on Samach Beis, the din that we have here at Kuf Pei Dalet if you're that a Yotze L'derech, if Chayiv Lifkot et Ishto Yafilu Samach Leves, and we discussed in Machlokas Rishonim whether that Pekida means Tashmish or means something short of Tashmish. The Pitzvei Tshuva here in Sivkatan Kuf Beis discusses a parallel question. Is there any grounds for leniency to allow for Tashmish on a Leil Havest or Yom Havest if that coincides with Leil Tefillah? But not a common Shaila, but in theory a woman could have an extra mid-cycle due to a Kesem or some abnormal situation in which she ends up having to count an extra Tara process, and then it turns out that the day that she's supposed to go to the Mikvah ends up being a Yom Havest. So in that situation, do we say that just like by Yotzei L'Derech, where there's a mitzvah element involved, and there's a leniency, so we would say the same thing for Leil Tefillah B'Yom HaVest. So the Pitzvah Tshuva here quotes from a Knesset Yecheskel, who thought that it's the same Shaila. So it would therefore be mutter to have Tashmish on a Yom HaVest, if that is indeed Leil Tefillah. But then the Pitzvah Tshuva quotes, most Achronim argue on this Knesset Yecheskel. We have enough trouble understanding why Yotzei L'Derech creates the Hetzer and Ein L'Chabo El Chidushov. So that's the consensus position among the Achronim, that there's no dispensation for Tashmish the Yom Havet, even if it's Leil Tefillah. Maybe if you're Machmir for the Ruin General, you could be Machmir on that, but for the Vest itself, that would be Machmir. If you look at the Nod Vihuda, Tinyana Simen Kuf Yuzayin, Nod Vihuda Tinyana Simen Kuf Yuzayin, he brings a strong raya from a Rivet, that this has to be the case, that there's no dispensation for Yom Havet, even Leil Tefillah. Okay, we don't have time to go into the details, but that is the consensus of Poskim. But back to the original Machlokes. So what do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? The Mechaber says, Rotzeh Lazeh Sederot Tarach Lifkot Isha Afilos Amach Levesta. The Mechaber doesn't tell you what Lifkot Isha means, so he doesn't really weigh in on that Machlokes explicitly. The Rama says, Afilu B'tash Mishari, like that day in the Rishonim, like the Ravid, the Rashba, the Dimei, Umi Kalmakam HaMachmir Shalo L'Thokta Rak B'Divei Ritzli Tavol HaBracha. So the Rama says that Nikra Din, we assume that the Tether, Tzarech Lifkot Ishto Afilu B'Tzavach Levesta applies to Tashmish as well, but HaMachmir Tavol HaBracha. So where does this Machmir Tavol HaBracha come from? And the Beit Hillel quotes this formulation from this Mag. The Achronim quote, if you look here in the Taras HaShlamim in Sivkat and Yates, they quote a Marshal who asks the following question on this Mag. So what do you mean, HaMachri Tavol HaBracha? If Chayiv Lifkot Et Ishto means B'Tashmish, that means that there's, it's not optional, there's a chiyuv to be pokei b'tashmish. So what does that mean, hamachmir tavol habracha, not to do what, according to Hefzer Rishon and Gemara, says is a chiyuv to do? So what's the formulation of a machmir tavol habracha? So the Marshal gave an answer which is not consistent with the way the Rama understood this Mag. The Marshal gave an answer, Taras HaShlamim quotes, that no, Machmir Tavol HaBracha means Machmir not to get into that situation. That if you're in a situation in which you're planning on being Yotzei L'Derech B'Yom HaVest, then change your travel plans. So you shouldn't create a situation where you're going to end up having to deal with a Shaila as to what is the Fakida that's permissible the Yom HaVest, the Samach HaVest, if you're Yotzei L'Derech. So rather than get into the Shaila, you should change your travel plans. That's what the Marshal meant, that's what the Smag meant, HaMachmir Tavol HaBracha. The Ramah clearly did understand the way, because the Ramah says, HaMachmir Tavol HaBracha is HaMachmir Shelo L'Fok D'Rach V'Divei Ritzoi. So that still runs into the question the Achronim asked on the Smag. Then the Ramah quotes a corollary halacha based on a Nimuka Yosef in that Sugin Yavamas. The Ish Omrim, Im Adam Rota Leila Fladerech, Ish Tanida, if a person is planning on traveling and his wife is Tanida, the Titbal Tof Odachas, but her Leil Tvila is that night. Sarach Lahamtin, so you should postpone your trip for a day so that you don't leave right before Leil Tvila. The Shachir is just bothered by a technical question, Shachim Sivkot and Kafe, that he quotes a Rambam Hilchos Deus that a person shouldn't be Boel the day that he's going on a trip. So what's the suggestion that you dafka should postpone your trip till the next morning so that you could be home for Leil Tvila, but you're not supposed to have tashmish the night that you're going on a trip? So if you look at the side of the Beis Lechmiyu, the answer is there's a difference between a walking trip and a sitting trip. If you're walking, so then that's where the Rambam applies, the Hilchos Deus Rambam, but if you're going to be sitting in a carriage or a car, then or a train or a plane, then that doesn't necessarily apply. Okay. Simon Kuf Pehei deals with women's nemanos and situations of a masla. So in general, we assume, we know, that a woman has nemanos for matters that relate to her status as nida, her status of Tumah V'Tahara. That's what the Gemara has in Ksuvah on Daf Ayin Beis. The Safra Lalatma, that a woman has nemanos to be in charge of her count, be in charge of determining and representing at what point she is Tahara, and at what point she is Tameya. So the Mechavi here in Kufay Hei Sifal has the following din. Ha'isha Shehi Becheskas Tameya Asher Lalavo Aleha Shetomer Lo Tavalti. So that's based on the Gemara at the very bottom of Yudal from the days, that if a woman has a Cheskas Tumah, it's a Kozman that she is Tahora. So leaving aside Vestos, you have the right to assume that she remains Tahora until you come to a period of the Vest, or a time that she'd expect to be Tmeya, or she tells you that she's Tmeya. When she's Tmeya, so then she has a Cheskas Isser Labayla, and in order for her to now become Luteris Labayla, she has to actually represent that she is indeed Tahora, that she went to the Mikvah. So Shulchan Aruch sounds like you have to say it explicitly, at Shetomer Lo Tavalti, she has to tell her husband, I went to the Mikvah. If you look at the Piskei Shuli here in Sifkat and Aleph, he quotes the Mechavis Das, maybe not. Maybe it's sufficient if the woman lies down after her husband, so that's already a indication that she's saying, not in words, that she is the Tahora, that she went to the Mikvah, and that would be sufficient. And the Aruch HaShulchan says here in Siv Gimel, along the lines of the Chavis Das, that he thinks a woman doesn't have to say beferish that she's a Tavelis, even if she has a action that indicates that she went to the Mikvah, that she passes something directly to her husband in a way that would be usher when she's Tameya. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that would be enough to allow herself to her husband, even if she doesn't say explicitly Tavalti, along the lines of this Chavis Das. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The Piskei Shuli quotes from Chavis Das, that's not enough. I'm sorry. Chavis Das says that simply indicating that she's Tahora is not sufficient. That she actually has to make a verbal statement. And the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that that's difficult. Why should that be? If you're Merames, or you do something to indicate that you're Tahora, then that would be enough to become Muteres Labayla. Again, so the Chavis Das thinks that simply lying down after your husband is insufficient. There has to be an amira. And the Aruch HaShulchan argues and assumes that amira is not absolutely necessary. If a woman does an action that indicates that she is Tahora, that would be sufficient. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that's understandable because sometimes a woman is embarrassed to say something like that explicitly. So that action would be sufficient in instead.
The Chavis Das is more machon the chaver than he requires two, speech and action?
No, I don't think so.
So he just said Tavalti.
Mechavis says say Tavalti. Mechavis says that simply Shalchavis says that it's insufficient. You still have to say Tavalti. Okay. That's my focus. I post him here, and it's kind of a it's not so difficult to be macher on this kind of an issue. Okay, then the rest of the siman deals primarily the issue of amasla. That, in general, if a woman represents that she is tameya, then she is asur labayla, and she can't retract that statement. So what happens if there's an amasla? She has an excuse. She says, originally she said tameyani, and then she has an explanation as to why she really is tahara and why that initial statement was inaccurate. So, for example, the Shach Kotir and Sifkat and Gimel, let's say you have a situation where a woman sees dam, and she believes that she's tamei on the basis of that dam, and then subsequently she discovers that there is a makkah, or the dam came from some other source, and realizes that she indeed is tahara. So what's the status of an amasla if a woman represents initially to her husband that she is asurlo, and then she comes up with an explanation as to why that's not really what she meant? She made that statement under false pretenses, and indeed she is tahara. So does she have ne'amanus to, so to speak, change her mind and then become Lutaris Levi? So that's the discussion here in Sif Beis and Sif Gimel. The Torah quotes from a Ramban that there's a distinction between where a woman says to her husband, Tameani, and then she says Tahorani with an amasla, and the situation of Hukvaka Nida Bishpeino Seha. Right, so the Gemara in Subis and the second parak indicates that if a woman says Tameani, and then she has an amasla, and she says Tahorani based on that amasla, she is Nemenes. Then the Gemara in Ksubas and Dafayin Beis has a different din of Hufakanida Bishpeino Seha. That in general, if a woman, even if she didn't tell her husband that she is Tanea, but she was maxic herself as a Nida in social circles, meaning, let's say she wore big day Nidas, at a time that the practice was that a woman who was a Nida would wear special clothing. So she went out in public wearing the clothing of a Nida, even though she didn't tell her husband that she's a Surlo. That's enough to make her asur with her husband. So as far as amasla, the Gemara discusses amasla in the context of simply a statement of tameyani and then taharani. The Gemara doesn't discuss amasla in the context of huflekanida b'shchenosah, but the Torah quotes from the Ramban that there's a difference in halacha, that amasla works in the first case, doesn't work in the second case. If a woman is huflekanida b'shchenosah, then amasla is not going to work. So that's what the Torah quotes from the Ramban. And if you look in the footnote in the Malchon Yerushalayim, the Talmud Devarim Tor, they point out that it doesn't appear in our Ramban. That which the Torah quotes from the Ramban does not appear in our Rambans. And then if you look, excuse me, in the Shilta Yagivorim in Tzubis, and the Tessam in Beis Vedat Perif, so Shilta Yagivorim in Tzubis, their Tessam in Beis Vedat Perif quotes the name of the Rambam. And it's also not in the Rambam. That's two strikes. It's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Rambam. So does anyone actually say this? So he quotes there that even though it's not a Rambam and not a Ramban, it is a Rashba. Okay, so at least the position, wherever it is attributable, does exist in the Rishonim, to distinguish between at a Masla where you just had a private conversation, wife to husband, of Tameani, and then she says Taharani, which works, as opposed to Hukva Kandida Mishkena Saha, where an amasla is not going to work. So parenthetically, in that footnote in the Torah, he thinks, why did the Torah quote this on the Ramban, and why did the Shilta Givon quote this on the Rambam? So maybe they just understood from the fact that the Ramban in Hilchos Nida, and the Rambam in the Yad, in the Yisur Abir, where they quote this din of amasla, they only quote in the context of Omeres Tameyani, not in the context of Hukva Kanida Bishkenosah, which is what you'd expect in the Rambam, because that's where the Gemara quotes it. But so maybe they understood in the Ramban and the Rambam respectively that because he only quotes in the context of Omeres Tameyani, not in the context of Hukva Kanida Bishkenosah, that the Kavana was that the din only applies in that context and does not apply to Hukva Kanida Bishkenosah. Be that as it may, that position does exist in Rishonim, and the Torah wonders why should that be so. Why should you distinguish between a namasa in a case of omeres tumeani, where she tells her husband I'm tumea, and then she says, oh, I realize it was based on a misunderstanding, indeed I am tahara, which works, and the case of huklaka nida b'shkenasa, where she said nothing to her husband, but she went out in public in digde nidas, and there an namasa is not going to help to make her muteres labayla. So that's what the Torah wonders, why should you make such a distinction? So the Beit Hillel, they quote from the Rashba in the Torah Tabayis Aruch on Ches Amud Beis. The Rashba explains that the difference is a matter of degree. That there may be a situation in which a woman, for whatever reason, is going to say something to her husband which isn't fully true, and she'll have an explanation as to why it's not fully true. But if she's going to go out in public and act on that, that's a much stronger statement about her status. So the classic case, you know, the classic case of the Gemara of Omeres Tumeani with an Amasla is where what the Makaber quotes here, Kagon Shomeres Chelo Amrlo Kain Tchila Elmanei Shelo Hiya Bakalaplis Val Tashmish. Oh, Taino Kara. So that kind of a case of a marriage of Amrlo Kain Tchila El Bnei Shel Haiba Kavach Lisval Tashmish. So it makes sense that maybe a woman would say that to her husband and then explain afterwards why she was saying to Mayani. But for a woman to go the extra step and to demonstrate publicly that she is Anida, that's a much stronger demonstration. And there, a simple amasa would not be enough to change her mukzakus. That's the Rashba's distinction in the Taurus of Bias. The Taz here in Sukkot and Beis quotes a different chiluk. The Taz in Sukkot and Beis quotes the Reb Leib Miprag. Blame me proud made the following distinction. Dishani hooksa kanida vishkeno saha dalaf kuli amma yadi min hamasla. Vim came, amma samaka kishafika asma nega kuli amma. Masha ain came, but merits of Bible to mani. After shasamka asma, shaka kakomolo, as hamasla. That when she says to her husband, Tumeani, so then it's reasonable to say that she was saying Tumeani, and she had in mind from the beginning that she's going to explain to her husband a little bit later that she wasn't really telling the truth and why that's the case. But if you're Masik, if she's Masik Atma Zanida Vishkenasa, so then she can't assume that she'll be able to explain the Amasa to everyone that sees her at any point. Because that's a much more public representation. And she won't be able to explain to everyone that amasla. So then the strength of that argument becomes weaker. Then the musakis takes hold, and she has no namanas to present an amasla. Yeah?
So why, like, she just wanted to convict her?
You're saying that the public could... If they're going to, you say in public reception, why would someone have more reason to assume that she's still Tamei as opposed to Tamei now and then went to Zikr that night? Well, she started wearing Big Day Nidus yesterday and then went back to Big Day Tara today, and she was wearing Big Day Tara 3 days ago. That's not so plausible.
Why is that the case? Why can't it be the Kavalti, which means that she's been wearing it for the past 2 weeks, which just continues wearing it for one extra day?
You could construct such a case, but that's a limited okimta.
That's the more norm.
No, the more norm is that if a person starts wearing the nidah, she's not going to become Torah the next day.
But the lashon that you're using is tavalti. You wouldn't be tavalti.
No, tavalti is sifah. Right? There the question is, she's hosaka is tmeya, is she not believed to say tavalti? Here the question is amasa. She started to be masa kasala tmeya today. And tomorrow she says, the next day she says, no, I made a mistake, I was never tmeya. That's a different shaywa. So that's what the Taz quotes here a similar but not the same distinction as the Rashba. The Rashba's distinction was between the extent that a person would go to make a charade, and the Taz's distinction, the Lady Prague's distinction, is between that which is public and not as retractable, and that which is private and easily retractable. So according to the Taz, according to this Lady Prague, Taz says that given that it's not a function of degree, but a function of publicity, so even if a woman were to say Tmei Ani in public, that also would be unretractable. So it's not a function of Tmei Ani versus Beidei Nidus, it's a function of private versus public. So if a woman goes to the town square and screams out Tmei Ani, so even if she's not wearing Beidei Nidus, so that would be a unretractable statement that a masa won't help for. And the Tosafot Shlomim thinks that's not the case. So the Shlomim argues that in theory, if a woman were to make a statement of Tmei Ani, even in public, that would be retractable, subject to the rules of a masla. He says that Labaiwa is Ladafka, that's the norm. It's not Midarka Tznias to be Megala your status of Tema Vitara El Labaiwa. But what's critical is whether it's a statement or whether it's something that is backed up by action. So a statement, you can retract. If it's backed up by action along the lines of that Rashba, it would be unretractable. Okay. The Shuvah Sarama in Simon Beis, quoted here, actually printed in the margin of the Shulchan Aruch, at least in some editions. The Tshuva Sarmas Simon Beis was asked about a woman who wanted to hide a pregnancy. So for whatever reason, she had previous miscarriages, she was worried about Ayin Hara, and she wanted to hide her pregnancy, that even the members of her family and her neighbors wouldn't know until the latest possible time that she was pregnant. So as part of this ruse of hiding her pregnancy, she wanted to conduct herself publicly as being a Asur L'Bayla, so no one would suspect that she is pregnant. So her husband agreed that she could say Tmei Ani, and she said Tmei Ani in the presence of the Bnei HaBayis during the early months of her pregnancy. So where she made such a statement of Tmei Ani, but it was clearly, at least as far as she understood and her husband understood, simply a facade. So would she then be mutaris labaila? So the Rama makes the following observation. When it comes to that Gemara in Tzuvah Sayin Beis, of Hufzaka Nida Bishchena Seha, so the Lashem Gemara of Hufzaka Nida Bishchena Seha is that the husband would be loka. Husband would be loka, but the wife would not be loka. Why? Because deep down, the husband is obligated to believe his wife initially when she said Tmei Ani. And even if she retracts, absent a plausible amasla, he's not allowed to believe her attraction because she was already mastic herself as a surlo. So as far as the husband's concerned, in Hilchos Ne'amanus, he must believe his wife's initial statement of Tmei Ani. And therefore, if he was Va'aleha, he would be subject to Malchus. The wife, she knows what the truth is. So you can't say, if she knows what the truth is, so in Hilchos Ne'amanus, no one's allowed to believe her. But she herself knows what the truth is. So she knows what the truth is. You can't say that she's subject to Malchus. So the Malchus is only on the husband, not on the wife. So Rama says, that's true in a normal case. But here, when the husband and wife were in on this plot from the beginning, so then, what if he knows from the beginning that she's Tahara, so then she would be mutaris to him. And then he rejects the raya. And he says, maybe there's a raya from Yitzchak Avinu, that Yitzchak Avinu represented that Rivka was a surah to him, but indeed they were together. So Tavir assumes that Pasher, there should be mutter. Pasher should be mutter where the husband understood from the beginning that this is all a charade. And the Shachman, the Kudas HaKasev, is masking that, no, the Ramah sounds like he was dealing even where the husband didn't know. You know, the wife initially, I guess, was keeping her pregnancy for the husband also, in theory. Okay. Rama has here in the end of Sif Gimel, Amra Ploni Chacham Tirli Kesem. The woman claims that a Yetzah Shaila of a certain Rav, and he was in the Tahir. The Chacham Omer Shimi Shakaris, and the Chacham says she's a liar. HaChacham Neman U Temeyahi. Ta said that's only true of the Chacham himself represents that he was never Matir. But if the Chacham's not around, and you have an aid, and the aid says that the Chacham is Oser, so he has no more Nemanos than she does. That's Akasha. Mishach writes that as well in Sifkat and Vav. Okay. So we discussed 2 times ago the Gemara and the Aptazayin, the Machlokes, Amarayim, whether Vestas, the right of Vestas, the Rabbanim. And that was in the context of the requirement of a bedikah beyom a vest. So if you have a vest kavua, so there's a requirement of a bedikah beyom a vest. And machlokas, what happens if you didn't perform the bedikah beyom a vest? Can a bedikah subsequent to the yom a vest be matir etza isha labayla? So that the Gemara was told on whether vest is deraisa, vest is derabanan. If vest is deraisa, so then, if you didn't perform a bedikah b'yom aves, you have to be choshesh that maybe there was a riyas adam b'yom aves that she wasn't aware of. And even if you perform a bedikah subsequent to the yom aves, she remains a surah labayla. And if that's the sadr abanan, so then as long as you perform a bedikah la'akar yom aves, you can be mafsik yourself as remaining tahora. So how do we paskin there la'alacha? So this is going back now to Simon Kuf Pei Dalet, the test. The Mechaber writes, Shar Hanashim, Shar Nashim, Tzvichos Bedika, Kishiyagia HaVest. Who's Shar Hanashim? So in the previous Eifim, we're talking about in this Lekas Damen. Amuberes, Meinekes, situation of Pakat. So those are all situations where you don't have to perform a Bedika beyond the Vest. But the default is that absent those considerations of the Lekas Damen, a regular woman who is still expecting to see Dam, so if she has a vest kavua, she has to perform a bedika biyom havest. So shara nashim sichos bedika kishiyagia havest. Aver havest velo badka velo hirgisha. So if the yom havest passed and she did not perform a bedika and she had no hargasha, tahara velo bedika. So according to the first day in Shulchan Aruch, she remains tahara even if she did not perform a bedika subsequent to the yom havest. The yesh omrim shasura ad shetivdok. That's the position we saw in Tosos and Daf Tezayin, that she must perform a bedika afterwards, and that bedika could be mafsikar as remaining tahara labayla. Again, v'yesh amrim shasura asha tivdok im yesh laves kavua o shehu yom lamid afa v'sheina kavua. So that's true. The requirement of a post facto bedika after yom aves, if he did not perform a bedika beyom aves, that's true for ves kavua. And that's true for an ona beinonis. The Rama says, "V'hachi nahog." Okay. So the Shachrim Sifkas and Tav Gimel writes that there is a position of the Bach, and a position of that he attributes to some Rishonim, that if she did not perform a Bedika after, at least immediately after the Yom HaVest, Tokshir Vest, then she remains Asura Labayla. And the Shach assumes that we don't assume that way. We assume that a Bedika, even La'achar Yom HaVest, could be Matur her Labayla. How far La'achar Yom HaVest? So, Rabbi Fourth points out, there's a slightly different Lashon between the Tav and the Shach that you wouldn't necessarily have picked up on. The Tav right here in Sifkat and Yidveis, Afilo im lo baka ella adzman harbe. That even if the bedika doesn't take place until some time, a lot of time, not harbe, after the vest. That's titled a little bit of hezber, meaning if the reason that we're concerned about a vest kavua is that we believe that a woman saw dam and wasn't sensitive to it, or witsi dam wasn't sensitive to it on the Yom HaVest, so how would a Vedika 5 days later help you with that? So maybe she had some dam on that day, and she had some dam the next couple of days, and she didn't realize, and so what does a Vedika 5 days later help? So it's a little bit tone hezber. But the Taz writes, Afilu im lo baka el azman harbe. The Shach in Kaf Gimel writes, Afilu ichrez man ma, achar HaVest. Even if she delays some time. So, I don't know if I would have picked up on this, but Rabbi Forth points out that that Lashon is man ma, sounds like it's a narrower window of time than man harbe. It's unclear what that window is, or where you draw the line, what's the difference between man ma and man harbe. Rabbi Forth points out the Lashon of the Beit Yosef here is kamazman. So kamazman, he thinks, sounds more like man harbe than zman ma. But how you quantify zman harbe and zman ma, and how strong idea is, I'm not sure. The Pesach Shuvah here in Sifkat in Yitzayim, Pesach Shuvah Sifkat in Yitzayim, was a bigger chumrah from the Chavis Das. That even if a woman has a vest kavua, if she excuse me, if she doesn't have a shah kavua, maybe the woman has a vest kavua, so she'll always see at a haflag of 25 days, or she'll always see on the 20th day of the month. So, but sometimes she'll see at 9 in the morning, sometimes she'll see at 5 in the afternoon. So if she doesn't have a kvias for what time she's going to see, then she has to have a moch dochuk in the entire day. Because maybe she'll see at some point, not when she's doing the bedika. That's the chumrah the Chavis Das has of the Pesach Shuvah Kos, so that's not generally accepted, excuse me. Again, whatever, in theory, much of the discussion of Es Kavua is also relevant for Ona Beinonis. So in Ona Beinonis, it's a lot more Lemaisa than of Es Kavua, but Bli Nadir, we'll talk about Ona Beinonis next week. Okay, so what is the nature of this lechafila requirement that if you have a vest kavua, you have to perform a bedika beyond the vest? So the Rabbi Shulchan writes here in Sichat and Nandalid, the Rabbi Shulchan writes that the lechafila she should do the following: that if the onas havest is a night ona, so she should perform a bedika at the beginning of the night, and she should perform a bedika when she gets up in the morning. So she should perform two bedikos between one at the beginning and one at the end. If she has a day ona, the Bada Shachar writes, she should perform a bedika in the morning, and she should perform a bedika the end of the day before Shkia. And then he thinks it's better to do another bedika after Shkia, because you can't be mitzamsim exactly when the last bedika is going to be. So in case there is some dam after the second bedika, before the end of that ona, you should perform another bedika later that night. And the Chavanish in Simen Pei Oskafes the Chazanish thinks that as long as you, the requirement of Bedika, the Yom Aves, is you perform one Bedika. So you don't have to be Choshesh, you know, we don't assume like the Chavasas, you need a Meltachuk, you don't even need to sandwich the Bedikas at the beginning and end of the Ona, sufficient to perform one Bedika anytime during the Ona. Rabbi Willow thought that the Chazanish made more sense here as far as that requirement of Bedika. What about a Bedika for a Beth She'eino Kavua? So that's not explicit here in Shulchan Aruch. We're talking here about a Beth Kavua. What about a Beth She'eino Kavua? So the Bach assumes that you need a Bedika for a Beth She'eino Kavua as well. And the Rabbi Yishulchan, Rabbi Forrest, write that you should be machmer on this. And they point out that there's a mashmos that way in the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch here. What's the mashmos? Let's sit test. It says again, Shar Nashim Tzrichos Bedika Kishayagia Vest. What happens if you didn't do Bedika? Yesh Omrim Shasura Ashitivdok Im Yesh Lavest Kavua. So they point out that modification of Yesh Lavest Kavua, that's only going on the second statement here. That if she didn't perform a Bedika Biyama Vest, so if it's a Vest Kavua, then you have to be Machmir to require Bedika afterwards. But as far as the Lechachilu requirement of performing a Bedika Biyama Vest, so that's true even by a Vest She'eino Kavua. That's not anything you can add of that that mashmas also. But that's what it says in the Kisra Svarim to perform a bedika lechachila even by a vest she'eino kavua. Rabbi Willa thinks that there's no need to perform a bedika by a vest she'eino kavua. Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba that pretty much says that. And by Yves She'eino Kavua, you don't need a Bedika. By Yves She'eino Kavua, there's another issue. That's Simon Kuf Pei Vav. So if a woman, this is a Gemara in Yud Beis, a woman has a Ves Kavua, so you can assume, or you have to be Choshesh, that she's going to have her Ies Dam on the Yom Ves. So you don't have to worry any other time of the month because you have no reason to suspect that she's going to have her any other time. Maybe you should be concerned that if a woman has a Ves She'eino Kavua, so everything's unpredictable, so she could be Roa Dam at any point. So maybe you should require a Bedika Kodem Tashmish all the time because at any point maybe she'll see Dam. And you have to make sure that she's not about to see Dam before you have Tashmish. So that's the issue the Gemara has in Daf Yud Beis. And the Gemara there indicates one position on Meroim, that if a woman doesn't have a Ves Kavua, so she always requires a Bedika. But Rashi there understands, yeah, that's about Taros. That a woman who has a Ves She'eino Kavua, she always has to have perform a Bedika before being Osei B'Taros. But that has nothing to do with an Isser L'Bayla. And that's how they're at. There are a number of Yishonim who assume the way. The Re in the Gos Maimini here in Perigdal, in Os Kof. That's the position of a number of Yishonim. The whole thing there is only talking about Taros, nothing to do with the Isser L'Bayla. And the Rush is the most macro position of Yishonim. The Rush assumes that, like Rabbeinu Chananel, like the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Antinous from the Gemara there, that a woman always requires a Bedika Kodem Tashmish if she doesn't have a Ves Kavua. And the Gemara is not limited to Taras, but it refers to Isser Labayit as well. And then there's a middle position in Rishonim, and that's of the Ran in Shavuos, and the Rashba and the Taras Abayis Arach here on Zayin and Mavei. So the Ran and the Rashba assume the Das Arif, that if a woman has a vest, does not have a vest kavua, so she doesn't have to be bode kodim tashmish her entire life. It's sufficient to be bode kodim tashmish three times in order to be mastic herself that she's not roa matmas tashmish. So a woman gets married, so she should perform bedikos on three separate occasions kodim tashmish, and then after that she doesn't have to worry for the rest of her life. How do we paskin? So the Machaber writes in the beginning of Simen Kuf Pei Vav, Isha Sheyesh Levet Kavua, Eina Tzricha Vedika Kla Lo Lefnei Tashmish Lo Lacher Tashmish, Adarab, it's a bad idea. And Tzif Pei, Vim Ein Levet Kavua, Sholosh Vamim Harishonim Tzricha Livdo Kodim Tashmish, Racher Tashmish, Hu Be'eit Shelah Ve'hi Be'eit Shelah. Okay, the Mechaber requires bedikos gemel pamim. If you look in the Shach here, the Shach has a arichos in which he argues that Rashi's position is the ikker position. And even the Rif agrees to that. And there's no requirement of Vedikos even to perform Gimel Vedikos to be Mafsik yourself as Eina Roa Machmas Tashmish. So the Shach is Mekel here. The Minaga Olam is to be Mafmir to require Gimel Vedikos initially to be Mafsik yourself as not Roa Machmas Tashmish. But the minhag of Ar Yeshiva is like the Shach, not to, which is, I assume, what you have heard for those for whom this may have been relevant. So pretty consistently, the poskim of Ar Yeshiva, of course, the board are made on the Shach like the Shach, but all the Kitzur books, and my sense is the Olam in general, requires Gimel Bedikos, and then you have to work out all details about it, at what point that could be performed. There could be the Kitzur books about that. Yeah.
Based on like the Sparta, that's the shame of the book, shouldn't the Bedikos be, I understand that convenience should grow and that's my cash for thinking to get rid of, but additionally,
right?
Shouldn't there be a cash before? And the point is, if she's in her best couple of at any moment, so
right.
So shouldn't she also, but we're only talking about, even the Machmir, we're only talking about doing a Bedika after?
No, talking about before also.
Call it
an
offer. Oh,
before
and after. Mm-hmm. So before it's just that you're going to go after is something completely different. That's just mathematical, right?
Yeah.
Like
the what?
Development.
The development? Sociologically? Halakhically?
Why?
Willick says that, or Shafter says that, Rabbi Neuberger says that, I think Double Lifshitz said that. Okay.